This is our family. Of course, Mindy, my wife, my oldest son, Blaine. There's Carson, Adeline, and Esther. And we've been serving God in the Philippines now for 10 years. And so we did our deputation, our fundraising back in 2013. We were in the field or on field in the Philippines by 2014, and we've been there ever since. So we're now home on a furlough. But God brought us there to a place very much unlike Ashland, Ohio. I grew up in Ashland. I guess that's about 20,000. I went to church growing up at Maranatha Baptist Church in Hayesville, which Hayesville, if you know that area, that's a township of just 400 people. And so God took us to Manila, Philippines, and we have 25 million people. We tried to put that in context in Sunday school. That's like 25 times the population of Columbus, Ohio. And so, I mean, just a massive amount of people. A lot of crazy traffic. We were about 15 miles from the airport where we lived in Manila. 15-mile drive would take 2.5-3 hours on any given day. And so imagine your work commute being 2-3 hours. That's everyday life for Filipino people. They wake up at 4 a.m., leave their house by 5. They're at work by 8. Imagine a 3-hour commute to and from work and working that 8-hour day. But that's life there in the Philippines, and we've loved our time there. God has blessed. God allowed us to launch and start this church. This is called City Baptist Church. This is in Quezon City, Philippines. It's the northern part of the city. And in that area, God let us launch by really just building relationships. We were ministering to college students. We'd meet them at Starbucks. We'd have coffee. This church began, technically speaking, in a park. We were just under a pavilion. I remember smacking the mosquitoes all the time because we met in the afternoon initially. And, oh, man, you had to bring your off with you because it was bad. And thank God people even came. I don't know why they came, but I don't think we were that great of an attraction. But, man, God brought a small group of people together, and then you can see God blossomed it in 7 years into what you see here. That's 4 locations later. God moved us from a park to a government building. We actually had favor with the local government. They let us meet in City Hall. We had church on the 3rd floor of City Hall. From there, we went to a rented space, and then God miraculously provided a building. I should have a picture of the way it looked before. It was an old school building that was about 40 years old that was set to be torn down. And they said, well, you can buy this building, but you're going to have to do a major surgery to it to make it work or just tear it down and start over. Cost effectiveness, we just decided to do the surgery. And that's what you see now. Most people that see our building now think it's a brand new building. So God was so great in the way he provided from the amount to purchase the building to then even the renovations that we did. Wow, we serve an awesome God, and that's what he's done. So that's City Baptist Church. They are doing well. They just had their service about 12 hours ago, so they're 12 hours ahead of us. That church has hit a major milestone for any missionary church plant. They just elected, nominated, installed, whatever you want to call it, their very first full-time head Filipino pastor. And that's exciting to me. And he's not just some guy off the street or somebody we found. No, he's a guy I personally mentored and trained for 4 years. And so he's someone near and dear to my heart. He and his wife, I would not choose anyone in the whole Philippines over them for that role. And so I'm so thankful that God's given our church a faithful pastor there. I knew going in that I was a planter. I knew I was going in to start something. I wasn't going in to be there for the long haul. And so God allowed us to have that opportunity to step back and then see God raise up someone, and that's been exciting. So that's City Baptist Church. This is one of their major outreaches. This is a church plant location as well. We might call it like a satellite church here in America. Very different location, about 30 minutes away. This is more in a rural area, a poorer area, and that's where we meet. This is like a garage pavilion type area. We put up that wall on the right side. We redid the roof and did some things to this space. In the early days, during 2020 is when this church started, we'd have a rainstorm. We'd have people listening to preaching with an umbrella. I got video of it. I mean, of just monsoon rains and people listening to the Word of God. This church was started because there was a need. The need was that people were suffering during pandemic. We had a lockdown in the Philippines that was called the world's longest lockdown. We had 3 years from March 2020 to February of 2023 of lockdown in various ways. Schools were shut down that whole time. There was no in-person classes for about 3 years. Some churches stayed closed for 3 years, no lie. They did live stream for 3 years. Our church was open most of the time, 80% of those 3 years. We were open, we were shut down five times, reopened five times. We were wearing masks, face shields during services by government mandate. It was a wild time. And as a foreigner, we were playing it safe too, because I knew that any infraction against the government could land me also in jail. And so, yeah, I wore my mask because I didn't want to go to jail. I didn't want to risk being deported and kicked off of our mission field just due to something like that. So we endured. God was so good, though. When the church was shut down during the first lockdown, that was the longest one. It was about 3 months of shutdown. There was an area nearby, and this was this very area, that needed help. They had significant issues and needs. There was daily wage workers that work every day for their daily bread. They literally go to work knowing that $10 to $20 is going to buy their food for that day. But because of pandemic, they couldn't go to work. Because of the lockdowns, they weren't even allowed outside of their own village. And so our church rallied together. Those of us that had vehicles and could move around and gather supplies as we could during that time. We had three-hour lines at grocery stores. Only one head of household could go in. So the logistics of this were crazy. But we started gathering food and supplies to bless areas like this. And at some points during pandemic, we were feeding over 1,000 families a week. 1,000 families, all the supplies that they would need. We were sending relief goods 3 hours away by courier. We were blessing people all throughout the city just because some people had a heart to give. We had local Filipino business people that were literally sending truckloads of rice to us because they knew we were one of the only churches doing this. I estimated we gave away over 12,000 tons of rice during the pandemic. Our building, the place you saw on the previous side, that was a warehouse, literally full of canned goods, giant 75-pound, 100-pound bags of rice from floor to ceiling that we were repacking in smaller bags to give to these families. It was a crazy time, but God allowed it to actually start a church because the people, as we met the need, the hearts were open, and they said, hey, can we do a Bible study here? And so we started doing Bible studies that turned into some crowds under that pavilion of 400, 450 people under that. God did a great work. 4 years later, of course, we know how that goes. Some of the crowds dwindled. We have a great core. We've baptized, I believe, about 30 adults and probably 25, 30 kids from that area. So God's working there. God is working in a big way. Pray for that church plant endeavor. This is some of the outreach that's been done in that area. That was a 3-on-3 basketball tournament we did about a year ago. It was a good outreach. Several professions of faith were made through that, and a lot of fun. This is another outreach ministry that our church started. City Baptist Church started a ministry to high school students to meet a need of about 8,000 students. Excuse me. Just in our local village or our area of the city, we have a high school of 8,000. We shared with the teens earlier that our students have such an overwhelming population for the classrooms and the school facilities that they actually are divided into two sections. So there's like a 6 a.m. to 12 lunchtime shift, then there's like a 1 to 7 p.m. And so these students are coming in super early to the community, or they're leaving mid-afternoon. We always had seen them mingling around. I mean, hundreds, thousands of them just along the streets and our parks. And so some of our people had a burden to use our church facility on a daily basis, kind of like what you guys are doing with LifeWise. And this was just an attempt to say, hey, our doors are open. We want to get to know you. We want to build relationship with you. And so we offered free coffee, free Wi-Fi, tables and chairs just to come and study. And this is what it looks like on any given day now in our church, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4:30. There are students invading our church building. And of course, some of our older members had to kind of back off a bit because there might be new marks on the wall or the floor might have a spill. And what was the cool thing was is people didn't get cantankerous about it, really. The cool thing was we saw all age groups from our church come in to serve during this window of opportunity with these students. I've seen our senior saints leading Bible studies. We do a Bible study every Thursday. I've seen our college students leading Bible studies, helping out in a youth rally like this one. We've done youth rallies on a monthly basis with these students. They just celebrated 1 year of what we call the City Student Center. And so this student center, on average, probably reaches about 150 kids a day is what's coming through the building. We've had high days of 250. That was the last day I was there for, was a high day of around 250, which is a lot of people in the space that we have. But God's using it. They just baptized two Sundays ago. There's been multiple baptisms from this group. This just happened when friends invited friends to Jesus. Our high schoolers that were church kids in our church just got a burden to start reaching people. I promise you, there was no mass promotion among the high school of the 8,000 students. The people that invited people from the high school were our students. And so that's just an encouragement to you guys, especially the students here. You can be the one to build the youth group up in your church. You can be the one to bring people to Jesus. Our youth group, our young people in the church, like you can see, that is the most dynamic ministry of our entire church right now. And so we're pumped about what's going on with the youth. This is Faith Academy Manila. This is a massive Christian school endeavor that mainly reaches to missionary children. About 80% of their enrollment is all missionary kids. My wife, Mindy, has had the chance to teach here in the English department. My kids have been able to attend. And this school is just a game changer for missionary families. I would say because of Faith Academy, missionaries have stayed long in the Philippines. We've had tons of missionary kids who graduated from a school like this, who come back to serve on the mission field. You could say they leave with a good feeling about missions. They go back to college here in the States at Cedarville or some of these colleges you guys might be familiar with. They come back to the Philippines and start orphanages, start ministries. They'll go to places all over Southeast Asia like Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. God is raising up world changers through a school like this. And so we have some information back on the table. There are opportunities to intern at this school. They receive American volunteers all the time. I think there's at any given time about 200 foreign volunteer missionaries that are at this school. And so if you have a heart to teach and go abroad to serve in a way as a missionary, they'll do like a year commitment, a two-year commitment. I know of a couple that has just fulfilled a four-year assignment at the school. They went in their retirement. I love their story. They thought they were done. They were like 65, like, hey, we're going to just enjoy retirement. And then a missionary came and talked about Faith Academy. Next thing they knew, they were on the mission field in the Philippines, and they've spent the last 4 years of their lives teaching at Faith. And so I love stories like that. But God can definitely use anyone at any time. That's Mindy in her classroom. You can just see her students are from all around the world. This school is reaching out to pastors' families as well, which might be the children of a Chinese underground church pastor, a pastor from somewhere like in Nigeria, maybe a persecuted country that they wouldn't be able to have a Christian school. And so those pastors, those missionaries, will send their kids to a place like Faith Academy so they can have a Christian education. And so we love what God's doing through that. Well, as we shift gears here, something that God has laid on our hearts really for our next phase of ministry is kind of maybe encapsulated in this picture right here. This is a group of fellow missionaries praying together. These are all personal friends of mine. The couple seated in the back there praying are Filipino missionaries to Vietnam. The other young man is headed to Japan, the one with the red mask. The other guy in the blue is missionary Tom Bursma. He's a field director in the Philippines for a mission agency. Our heart was to bring missionaries and church planners together. That was not just an idea, but that was out of necessity during the pandemic. We had guys that were falling apart. We had missionaries leaving the field. I know I talked to Dan. You had several missionaries that came home on furlough, never went back to their field because of these lockdowns, these restrictions. And so those of us that were stuck on the field, oh man, we had new challenges, things we'd never faced before. And so what we did at the very beginning of the pandemic, God just orchestrated it. There was a big nationwide event, a pastor's event that was happening in Manila. They were expecting about 10,000 pastors to attend. And imagine that that event fell right on the week when our country went into that world's longest lockdown. And so these millions of dollars, literally, that had been raised for this event, to have a big event, pastor's event, everything was just paused. And so I had a lot of friends that had come to Manila for this event, and I said, hey, we've got a building that can fit 250, 300. If you're stuck in Manila, if you're here in our city, come over to our place. We'll do a mini event. We don't have all those big restrictions. We'll just do something to encourage people. And so that was our heart, just to be an encouragement. We weren't trying to make a name for ourselves. We were just gathering friends. And that first event, we had about 250 guests there, all kinds of pastors and missionaries from all over the world that were there in Manila. And what that was just a spark behind what God would continue to do. That event turned into weekly Zoom calls among foreign missionaries and other workers that were around the Philippines and around the world. And God allowed that then to turn into in-person events that continued, like this one. This is on a different island called Cebu. And God let us start to do these regional events where we'd go in just to encourage pastors. And we found guys around those tables, like Pastor Walter. He's seated at the very back in that dark blue shirt, who said, hey, I've never been to any event like this. I've never had anyone even come to my island to be an encouragement to me. And he's on an island really in the middle of nowhere. We have 7,000 islands in the Philippines, and he's on one of those islands. He's a church planner, very underserved, very under-resourced. And we get to come alongside those kind of guys. We get to strengthen, you know, their hearts by way of encouragement, and in a way strengthen their hand to continue to do what God has called them to do. So it looks like in-person events like this. And then God has seen fit recently to bring this into a global scale, which is absolutely terrifying. And this is me, honestly, when I see a picture like this, and then I look at a crowd of Indian people, is where we were. That's 250 plus Indian Hindus in that room. I don't speak Hindi. I don't know much about Hinduism. But I was in that room preaching to those people. God opened up that door, and we saw 25 people trust Jesus as their Savior. These are Hindus from a background of 33 million gods that said, I choose Jesus above all those gods. I lay aside all those gods, and I choose the one and only living Savior. And so God's opened up doors like this in India. We have invitations to Uganda. I just got an invitation last night to Argentina. Last week I got an invitation to Honduras. And you say, what are you just this phenomenal orator? No. Here's what is selling this ministry, if I could put it that way. One word: encouragement. Encouragement. Pastors, missionaries around the world, even in India, they have a great education. Actually, these guys in India, they've got their Masters of Divinity and all these fancy words. They've got all those degrees. I don't even have that. They have funding. There's plenty of organizations that are coming alongside to fund them. There's churches like Mission Point that are sending money overseas to missionaries. They have funding, but they don't have any encouragement. They have no one coming to see them, especially these national pastors. They have no mission board. There's no agencies. There's nothing like that. They're just on their own. They're completely alone. And so as we go to places like this and we help them with events and things like that, we gather pastors, we're seeing phenomenal feedback. We've seen guys that were praying about missions and they wanted to be a missionary. We've been able to mentor them all the way from start to finish, to see them from their first church they ever go to all the way to their mission field. We've seen guys that their marriages were falling apart, their wife was ready to leave, They were on the verge of a mental breakdown, then see God bring them back together through counseling and time and prayer. We've just been able to kind of come in and intercede, stand in the gap for a lot of families that need it. And so we only do this because we've been blessed to have that ourselves. We have churches like you guys, friends like Pastor Dan and Emily. We've got people around the world that have ministered to us. And so the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And so we feel a burden to pass along the resources, the encouragement, the time we've been given. And that's just the heartbeat behind what we're doing. This is a group of young people, as we close up this segment, that said at that camp last year, I have decided to follow Jesus. Not only that, but I've surrendered my life to him for whatever he calls me to do. And in India, that looks a little different because they know that that could risk their lives, that their homes could be destroyed, their churches could be burned, and that's happening around India. But these young people are standing up saying, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And so pray for us. In 3 weeks, I go back to India. I'll be there. Well, it's a little less than 3 weeks now. I'll be there. I'll fly out on May 15th out of Columbus, and we'll be in India for about 2 weeks. And then we go to the Philippines again in the month of July is the plan. And as you might have expected, this shift has caused us to reevaluate where our home base would be. We have so much going on in different places around the world. At this time, we feel God's actually calling our family back here to stay. We have our roots here, our families are here, the grandparents are here, the cousins and the siblings. And so as we travel, especially me and as Mindy, my wife, goes with me, we need a good home base for our kids. And so it's a huge shift for us, but we have actually decided to make Ohio home again. And just pray for us as we travel. We will not keep the grass growing under our feet, I guarantee you that. Just pray for us as we go. We're going to be living between two worlds. We feel like we're always doing that. That's a missionary life. And so just pray for us as we're interacting with cultures around the world, trying to be a blessing, trying to help, and trying to fill in gaps where we can. And so just pray for our ministry. How's our family? Not just to a nation, but God's given us now the nations. And I believe that's the heart of the Great Commission. I thank God for the vision, the perspective he's given us over the past few years. I would never have been able to cast this kind of vision 10 years ago. But this is what we do when we follow God step by step. Doors open, and I've always said, I'll run through those doors that God opens up wide, and that's exactly what he's doing now. And so pray for our ministry, and I sure covet your prayers, so thank you. Let's pray together, and then we'll give a challenge from the Word of God. God, we love you. We thank you for your work, and thank you for what you're doing in the world. Lord, you said the harvest is plenteous, it's abundant, but there's not enough laborers. The laborers are few, and we're supposed to pray for laborers. So Lord, I do pray that today, if there's someone sitting here today who knows that maybe it's them that should volunteer for something globally, that should go maybe to the Philippines as a teacher or a church planter or somewhere around the world, Lord, if you've put that on their heart, Lord, give them the faith to take that first step, to maybe have that conversation with Pastor Dan or anybody here, Lord, to become accountable for that burden that you've given them. And Lord, would you even open up doors for just anyone, whether young or old here in this congregation, to take a missions trip, to go see what you're doing around the world. And Lord, even if we have opportunity to partner with Mission Point at some point, to take a trip somewhere, Lord, open up a door for that, that we could just enhance and put some fuel on that burden that people have. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And Lord, I pray that for each one of us, we would respond to the open doors you put in our lives and really the mission field that's right here at our front door in Mansfield, Ohio, with people from around the world who are here right now. There's people that are hurting and broken that need the gospel. They need to hear the love of Jesus. They need to know there's a Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would just work in their lives in a powerful way through the testimony of people here at Mission Point. Thank you for all you're doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I think I'm going to switch gears. I don't have a lot of time, and if you guys don't have my notes, this can be dangerous, right? So the preacher gets just to do whatever he wants. So I want to talk to you about the harvest, and I want to talk to you about the harvest from the farmer's point of view. So go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We've been talking about the nations, the global need for churches and church planters. Hey, in India alone, There's 1.5 billion people. They overtook China as the largest population in the world. In 100 years, I've just heard this recently, in 100 years, India will have more population. India will have double the population of the next two nations combined, which is China and Nigeria, the other two top three countries. And so talk about just a massive effort that's needed to reach the world with the gospel. And I think that we're in no better time and place with the tools that we have. I think right now we're live streaming. I'm probably looking at a camera. We have more tools and resources than any generation before, but I'd probably say we have more excuses, right? Americans, we have so many excuses because we have so many options. We could just do about anything, right? If we want to take a vacation to Florida, we do. If we want to go to Cozumel, Mexico, we save up money, we go, right? If you want to go to the Bahamas, if you want to go to Switzerland, that's my wife's dream trip to go to Switzerland. Any of these things, we just make it happen, right? You want that brand new Chevy Tahoe, right? You save up or you just go sign on the dotted line. It's yours. We're here in America. Endless opportunity. Endless opportunity. Well, there is a world in need, a world, many of them, who have never once had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Let me change it around, too. Right here in Ohio, 45,000 Somali immigrants are living here from a country that you could not go as a missionary. We have about 30,000 Chinese in Columbus, Ohio. We have around 25,000 Filipinos right in Columbus, Ohio. That's not talking about the rest of the state. My brother just married a Filipina. She's from the Philippines, from our church, and she's here. And just in Ashland County alone, she's connected with like 30 other Filipino ladies. They're right there in Ashland County. My wife was just at Panera over here on Lexington Avenue a few months back, and she was sitting there, and she realized that she was the only person in the whole room, her and her friend, they were the only people in there speaking English. There was multiple tables. There was an African dialect. There was French. There was Spanish. There was all kinds of languages going on right here in Mansfield, Ohio, 5 minutes from here. So what does that tell me? The nations have come here. And you have just as much opportunity living right here as I do going out there. You have the same task. And so when we think about the harvest, John chapter 4, let's just look at this really quickly. John 4, John 4, verse 35. John 4, 35. It says here, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." White fields, ready fields, ripe fields. You know the context here? This is the story of the Samaritan woman. How many know the story of the Samaritan woman? The woman at the well, right? That's a Sunday school story. We've heard that thousands of times. And isn't it amazing to think of the context just after she went and told her village, "Hey, come see the guy who told me all that I ever did." Right after that, Jesus says, "Hey, look unto the fields, white to harvest, ready to harvest." And he was talking about Samaria. Unlikely place, unlikely people group, unlikely. But he's calling laborers into that field. They are white, already to harvest. Verse 36, "He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Notice verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of that woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did." So we see a revival in Samaria because of one witness. Notice she was actually from that people group as well, which tells me there are people that you might know and interact with, maybe a guy from Nigeria, a lady from the Philippines, I don't know, a Chinese guy at your work, I don't know. There's people that you interact with right now, and maybe you just pass them by. I've been guilty of it as well. Like, I don't know the culture. I'm afraid I'll get into trouble. You don't have to have a degree in multicultural ministries to be kind, right? And here's the thing. You might reach one individual here in Mansfield, Ohio, that goes, has a Skype call or a Facebook, FaceTime call back home, shares the gospel with his family. You might see a whole family get saved just because you share the gospel with just one right here. Here's the thing. The love language of people from around the world is time, relationship, hospitality. I don't care if they're a Muslim, a Hindu, a Catholic from a different country. If you offer to spend time with them, if you open up your home to have a meal with them, if you sit down for coffee with them, I guarantee you they will listen. And you will build a relationship where you could share the gospel. Here, we see these white fields. We see that the one who brought the message into her community was the Samaritan woman herself. So I would just ask just honestly this morning, where is your field, right? Where is your field? Well, honestly, realistically, it's right here. It's right here in Mansfield, Ohio. It's right here in front of you. If you don't have a field, you're missing the call, right? Jesus told us to go. He told us to lift up our eyes to see the fields. Here, he lets us know the fields are ripe, but few people are ready to reap, right? Few people are ready to reap. So they're waiting, they're ripe, and they're ready. Another thing that I've noticed here in this text is there is no reaping. This is very obvious. There is no reaping without first sowing and watering. Some of you guys are putting out, how many have already put out garden stuff? You already got seeds in the ground. A few of you. Yeah, when is the good time here in Ohio? May something, middle of May? What is it? Mother's Day weekend. That's a pro right there. Are you a green thumb, Pastor Matt? No? Okay. So I won't come ask for food from you guys. No, right? I did put some seeds in the ground already. Nothing's happened, so I don't know. But honestly, we know scientifically, biologically, whatever it is, there is no fruit, there is no crop without putting some seed out, right? Without watering and fertilizing. We live in a farm rural area out here in Ohio. We know what the farmers do. And somehow, we think that we can just open the doors of our churches, we can have great programs, and people will just come in, right? That's kind of how we think that maybe our place, our venue is good enough that people will just pour in the doors. That's not really how it works. That's not how it works in God's kingdom. The Bible says here that some sow and some water. Paul said that Apollos watered, or somebody planted, somebody watered, but God gave the increase. That means that as you go out, your opportunity is to reap. Sometimes you get to reap the harvest. You get to see someone won to Christ. But most times you're going to be sowing. You're going to be watering. You're going to be planting some seeds for the gospel in the hearts of people. That might be just opening up regular conversation. And one thing I've found to be true, and I won't belabor this point, but there were a couple things I was told that you're not supposed to talk about, right? You're not supposed to talk about religion and politics. Am I right about that? But those are the two things everybody talks about. Whenever I talk to anybody, they bring up their politics. So I'm like, hey, that's my green light to talk about religion. You already touched an untouchable. I'm going to go for the next one. And honestly, they'll typically even tell you what they believe. And so we have these conversations, but we need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have, ready to share the gospel, and God will bring the increase. There is no harvest without God. He is the Lord of the harvest. He will do the work that we cannot do. We're just supposed to go and open up our mouth, open up our heart to serve people, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's not just open the doors of Mission Point and hope people come in. Let's not just try to pray them in. Let's go reach people. Right where they're at, that guy across the machine from you at work, that person in the other cubicle, that other co-teacher in the school or that substitute, or whoever these people are that you're interacting with, no matter if they're from across the world or just one street over, we have an opportunity to reach them. This is not just the job of the foreign missionary. I guarantee you guys, we'll never reach the world without you involved. If all we're going to rely on is people that are vocational pastors or missionaries to reach the world, hey, I'll admit it with both hands. We've already failed. We need you. We need you to be on board. We need you a part of the harvest. There's a part for giving. Of course, we need funds to go. But more important, we need your participation in going. We need your participation in reaching the world. And I guarantee you, if we will sow if we'll water as God has commanded us, as we give the word of God, the Bible promises it will bear fruit. Not everybody will be saved. Not everybody will trust Christ, but the word of God will prosper, the Bible says, in the thing that it's sent. You're not going to give the word of God and it will return void. It's going to have an effect. It's going to have an effect. And so may God help us as we support missions to also be those missionaries ourselves and see what I like to call the harvest right outside our front door. There's people everywhere, all around us, our mission field, and they need Jesus. Let's pray. God, we need you today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of your work around the world. Lord, we know there's a great big wide world out there, some, 8 billion people now. And the statistics say that maybe even half of those people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I'll never make it maybe to Uzbekistan or Afghanistan or Mongolia. Many of these people here might only ever visit one foreign country in their whole life. Maybe those are fields that we'll never get to. But Lord, may we be faithful to the field right outside our front door. Those people you put in our corner, in our circle, in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and the people that are right here, the people that we're called to love and minister to. Jesus took the time. Thank you for the testimony of Jesus, who just went out of his way to minister to people, just like that woman at the well. And Lord, because of just that woman coming to Christ, the whole city was turned upside down for you. May we see that pattern. May we see the faithfulness of Jesus, that he was willing to enter into those conversations and just spend time with people. Lord, help us to be giving a track or sharing a, I'll pray for you, or these other things that we do and say regularly. But Lord, help us to take the time. Invite someone to our home. Invite someone to a meal. To have more than a two-minute conversation and to really spend time. And Lord, we know that will reap eternal rewards. Lord, we trust you for the results. We know that your heart is to reach the world more than our own. And so, Lord, we trust you with the results. May we be faithful and trusted with the message. And we pray this in Jesus' name.